Ms. Scarver versus Litcher, Ms. Andre.
May it please the court. I would like to begin by clarifying that there's two issues raised by this appeal. The first is whether the district court erred in granting defendants qualified immunity with regard to Scarver's placement at Supermax. For the reasons detailed in our opening brief, we submit the defendants were not entitled to qualified immunity. And as to this claim, we rest on our briefs. The second issue, which was not addressed by the district court, is one that we feel is crucial to this appeal, and that is whether defendants were entitled to qualified immunity with respect to what happened after Scarver was placed at Supermax.
Now, your reference to the federal prison in Colorado, that's the prison at Florence, is it?
That's correct.
The high security, yeah. So why was he sent there in the first place, since he's a state prisoner? Why was he sent back, and then why was he returned to Florence?
He was sent to Florence, is my understanding, because he had committed the murder of two inmates in the Columbia Correctional Facility. Now, as was pointed out by the district court...
Wait, I don't understand you. That's state, right? Those are state murders. Why is he being sent to a federal prison?
I'm not entirely sure.
What was described as a rented prison, that is, prisoners can be sent on a contract basis to federal places and do it all the time. So that's probably what happened. But the question is, they probably had better facilities to take care of them, in the opinion of somebody, and I assume the Department of the Bureau of Prisons between Wisconsin and the federal government. They work out a compact.
Yeah, I know he was in the Colorado facility under a contract.
Mm-hmm. And he went back there under a contract. Where is he now?
He is now in the Colorado State Penitentiary.
Colorado State Penitentiary.
That's correct.
Also under a contract.
Not Florence. That's correct. But I do want to address...
Well, this is important because your argument is this Wisconsin facility is inadequate for a person in his condition. So how is it different in Florence or at this Colorado State Penitentiary?
Both Colorado penitentiaries are different because they did not have the extreme conditions of isolation that's at Supermax.
Well, how do they control these people? This is a dangerous guy, obviously. So how is he controlled by Florence or by the Colorado State Prison?
He is still in a maximum security facility. The difference is that he's not exposed to 24-hour cell illumination. He is allowed out of his cell.
What precautions are they taking to keep him from killing more people or himself? Well, what do they do that's different?
Well, when he is exposed to other inmates, he is restrained.
What does that mean?
He has no access to other people without, in an open recreation yard, for instance.
Is he in shackles and restrained? You mean they've got him locked, handcuffed, leg shackles? What?
That's not my understanding. I don't know the particulars of his current confinement.
But those particulars are absolutely essential because your case hinges on your being able to show that these conditions, the lights on all night and so on in Wisconsin, are not the proper way to hold a person like this. So it must be there's an alternative way, right, that's better. If there's no better way, then he has nothing to complain about. So,
well, the difference,
so presumably the better way is Florence, or maybe this Colorado State Prison, because you keep saying that, you know, at Florence he was fine and so on. So
correct.
You know, is there some standard of dealing with, you know, schizophrenic murderers that Florence complies with but Wisconsin doesn't?
Florence allowed him to listen to tapes that helped him distract him from the voices in his head. At Florence, he was allowed to hold a job. At Florence, he was able to engage in recreation.
How is he allowed to hold a job? Because after all, he's killed three people. So isn't it very dangerous to have him? If he's holding a job, he's working presumably in the presence of other inmates.
I'm not sure the exact specifics of his work assignment at Florence.
Well,
I do know that he
is it. I mean, maybe he's, you know, just working in his cell. Maybe he's in solitary confinement.
But the point is, if he was working in his cell, that was sufficient. I mean, it wasn't creating a suicide risk for him.
You haven't looked into how Florence treats these people.
What I know about Florence is that he did have a job, and he was able to participate in recreational activities. And maybe
Florence,
that's all he was able to listen to tapes. And maybe that was all he needed.
Florence is, there's just one prisoner to each cell, I believe.
That's correct.
So that's solitary.
That's correct. And I think that's important because what we're asking, what we're saying is wrong with Supermax for Scarver. It could have been addressed. These are not huge things that Scarver needed to be able to deal with his mental illness. But the point is, once he was at Supermax, it was very clear that the total isolation.
But the problem is that everybody seems to. I couldn't find Florence by name in the findings or anything else. And if you're going to compare what Florence, as Judge Posner's suggestion, you compare Florence to what's happening at the Supermax in Wisconsin, we don't see any comparison of that.
Well, the district court, in her summary judgment opinion, speaks to Florence in the fact that he was able to work.
Well, she says it's a federal prison in Colorado.
She does detail that he had, and I know it is in our proposed findings of facts, that he was able to maintain a work assignment because we refer to the fact that he was given high ratings on his work, that he was amenable to treatment, he was congenial, and he had a series of positive work evaluations.
Well, you're attributing all this to difference in difference in conditions, or maybe his condition fluctuates. Is there any evidence?
Sure. In the 5 years he was at the Colorado facility, he had not a single act of self-harm.
No. Is there evidence about his mental condition that would enable us to infer that it was the difference in the conditions that explains the difference in his behavior?
I think the fact that within a month of his transfer to Supermax.
My question is very simple. Is there evidence about his mental condition? Is there psychiatric evidence?
Yes.
What's the matter with him and how is it affected by his condition?
Yes. He is a paranoid schizophrenic. He's been diagnosed with other things, but that is a predominant diagnosis. And the Supermax, as the Department of Corrections, has a standard for what kind of conditions that they consider when considering who to transfer to Supermax. One of the conditions that is in the restricted medical conditions going to Supermax is paranoid schizophrenia. So the defendants knew that the condition that Scarver has, he was susceptible to have a negative reaction to the conditions of confinement at Supermax, which is why we disagree with the district court that it's not fair to hold defendants, you know, liable for transferring him in the first place.
Well, who was responsible for transferring him from Florence back to Wisconsin?
The Wisconsin Department of Corrections, the Bureau of Placements,
but not
made that decision.
The defendants in this case?
Puckett, yes. Pardon? We say all the defendants. Puckett.
No, these people were responsible for transferring him back.
That's correct.
Did they write a letter to Florence and say, we really want this fellow Scarver back?
That's correct. They reviewed his
placement.
I don't know, and that's an excellent question. It's something the district court said.
Well, did you ask these people?
That's correct. Defendants never provided a response. There has never been an adequate response as to why Scarver, after the Colorado facility for 5 years,
was the question asked, and by whom and to whom?
I'm confused, Your Honor.
Was the question why they brought him back asked of anybody, and which one was asked and by whom?
I'm not sure that in discovery per se we asked. I do know that.
Well, you said that yes, Judge. They asked. They wanted him back. Isn't that what you said?
Yeah, I didn't
what
understand.
What evidence is there that they wanted him back?
Okay.
Not that they got him back, but who wanted him back?
Who made the decision to want him back?
No, no.
The
who asked to have him come back?
The
because you said that they asked to have him
the
come
program
back.
Review committee that Puckett was in charge of.
Puckett Defendant asked Puckett. To have him come back.
That's correct. The committee.
Wait. How? What in the evidence shows that Puckett asked him to come back? Did anybody ask Puckett?
It's admitted in the defendant's response to the proposed findings of fact. And
they,
in their,
they admitted that they wanted him back.
Yeah, in their brief to the district court, they say the person who made the decision to transfer him back is Puckett. Now, we say all of these...
Well, what motivated? Did anybody figure that one out?
Well, we assert that it probably had to do with the fact that they have a 500-bed facility that they were trying to find bodies for.
It was a financial decision.
Could very well be.
They're paying money to keep him in Florence, and they had now a new facility at Supermax, right?
Correct. It could have been. But the point is, if that was the decision, if that was the driving factor, once he was there and a month later began making attempts on his life, at that point there needed to be a recognition that this was the decision that needed
well,
to be reversed.
Well, he was on medication, wasn't he, all this time?
He was. The medication was irrelevant to the conditions. It wasn't alleviating isolation.
Well, the medication or variation in medication could account for a change of behavior, too, couldn't it?
I don't think so. He was medicated while he was in Colorado as well.
Yeah, but I mean a variation in the medication. Is there any evidence that there was a variation in medication, that he took more or less or didn't take or supposed to take? Any of that in the record?
His medication varied, but after he was on medication, that is the first suicide attempt, was yeah. an overdose. And then he repeated after that, subsequent, he banged his head on the cell till it bled. You know, he slit his wrist. He cut his head open with a razor to get the voices out. And nothing was done, you know, to respond to those suicide attempts.
Better save yourself some time.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Ms. Andre. Mr. Hornstra?
Thank you. May it please the court, I am Charles Hornstra, Wisconsin, Assistant Attorney General, appearing for the defendants' appellees. I might be able to be helpful to some of these questions mm-hmm. that were exchanged. First, as to why the move back and forth, I agree with my opponent. The answers are not all on the record, but I have made inquiry and am reliably informed and can represent as follows. The two murders that Scarver committed in the Wisconsin prison at Portage were in 1994. That was our most secure facility or our nearest most secure facility. We didn't have Bosco Bell Prison, the Wisconsin Secure Program Facility, in 1994. We got that prison in about 1999 and 2000. So it was the nature... And I'm reliably informed as the nature of his crimes in one of our most secure institutions that led our people to say, we can't handle him here, we got to find something that's more secure. That's why he left. Now, then our prison was built.
We did go to Florence.
Yes. Yeah. And then our prison was built, as I say, I think it was 1999, and inmates started returning. He returned. We had a space that could hold him. That was April 11, 2000. Now, in terms of...
So why was he then sent to Colorado again?
Part of a settlement of the class action lawsuit. We believed, Dr. Myers, Dr. Miller's testimony in this case supports us, and it's uncontradicted. We believe we could handle mentally ill patients and do better by them and treat them well. This isn't to say we're going to cure them all, but we could treat them. But the stipulation and settlement in the class action lawsuit is that we just wouldn't have any seriously mentally ill patients at that prison. So it was a settlement decision.
Judge Crabb had made an exception for Scarver?
Yes, sir. On June 19th, 2002, the class counsel in the class action lawsuit said, we want an order per the agreement, per the settlement, to remove all these people right now. And as I remember, she ordered us to remove six. But she didn't order us to remove Scarver. And the reason was, We had no other facility capable of handling him, and she acknowledged that, and there was evidence on that point. This is a very...
Okay, so why did you send him to Colorado?
We had no other place in Wisconsin that could safely do it.
But I thought she said you could leave him there.
This was part of further settlement negotiations and discussions. In the meantime, in that class action lawsuit, there was another process with a third-party mediator-type person who made that recommendation to us, and we followed it.
Was he in a Colorado state prison, though?
I had thought it was the federal prison. If they say it was the state prison, I'll stand corrected on that. I'm not positive.
Well, you don't. Is there interstate compact as well as the federal state compact in prison exchanges? Or don't you know?
I don't know that. I think of that compact as relating more to parolees and probationers. And
well,
so
we
on.
Had, no. There is a compact which permits the federal government to take state prisoners and house them. And the prisoners, the state says we can't house them, the federal government says we can't. I didn't know there was one state to state. Obviously, it's possible because there's nothing to prevent it. But you said the decision to move him back to Colorado was made by somebody who was a mediator. Whose point at the mediator?
That was part of the class action.
Yeah, but who did it? Was it a judicial appointment? Was it some, or was it a decision made of by the Bureau of Prisons?
No, it wasn't by the Bureau of Prisons.
I think
it was agreed upon between the parties to that litigation, the selection of the individual.
The attorneys representing the class action and the state of Wisconsin agreed that he should be returned to Colorado.
After having received that recommendation.
From the mediator?
Yes.
How did the mediator get there? Where did he come from?
That was part of our settlement process and the resolution.
Who selected the mediator?
I think we agreed upon him.
Agreed selection.
Yep.
So both parties select the mediator. He makes the decision that he should go back to his Colorado.
Yes, he did.
And everybody goes along with the program.
We followed the advice.
Well,
right.
Wisconsin outplaces a lot of its prisoners, doesn't it?
Well, it did.
Send him to West Virginia?
The Mississippi, Louisiana, all over the country, literally.
To private prisons?
Yes, the CCA prisons, we used a number of them. And what we faced in the late 90s, mostly the late 90s and early part of this decade, was a terrible problem of prison overcrowding. So we had we've got a total of 27,000 prisoners. We had as many as 6,000 prisoners spread around the country.
As a matter of fact, just as a matter of record, the overcrowding of prisons led to a number of federal lawsuits with orders entered by federal judges saying you've got to reduce your thing, and the only way you can do it is to rent them to some place that doesn't have an overcrowding. You have to do it, and that's what happened.
There were those cases, and led us to do what we did.
Well, according to Ms. Andre, Scarver could have remained in Florence. You wanted him back to fill up your new prison. Move going in the other direction. I don't know. Very strange. Was that correct? Is that correct? Defendant Punkett wanted him back?
Well, I don't know that he wanted him back. I would say there was an institutional feeling that we should be responsible for our prisoners.
You decided you could take care of them within the new prison.
Yeah,
and you found out you couldn't.
With the overcrowding problem, one of our the immediate response was to get them out of state. The next response was to build more prisons, including this one in Boscobel, and then to bring them back.
And it was cheap.
And they're almost all back.
And then finally you sent them back again because your prison wasn't any good for these mental cases.
I think you're right on that.
I mean, you're paying to keep them in Florence, and it's a lot cheaper to keep them in your own prison.
I believe that's right. I believe that's correct.
Now, this prison of yours, Boscobel, why are the lights on all night?
For safety of the prisoners.
I don't understand. They're in the cell there. What are they? Presumably, the cells are searched and so on. In Florence, do they keep the lights on all night?
That I don't know. I know it's common in
you
the
keep
super
lights on all night in your other maximum security facilities.
We do. I believe we do at the Waupun prison.
There's a suicide watch. The lights are on in every prison.
Yes, I know. But
yes, yes, that's a fact. It's for the so the guard can look in the, to see that the prisoner's still alive and breathing. Okay.
Well, are these people being watched with the lights on? Is that the point?
It's a dim light. I think it's about 5 watts or 6 watts. And it's just enough so that the guard can look in.
So they're being watched by video or what?
No, visually. So that the, and they, I think they can in some of the cells. Not
how often do the guards look in?
I think the practice is something like once every 3 hours or 4 hours, but I'm not sure of that.
And what about this argument that the heat, because you don't have air conditioning and there are no windows or anything, the heat interacts with their antipsychotic drugs to cause them problems?
Yeah, we do have air conditioning
is
now.
Is that one of the reasons why you're not permitted anymore to keep mentally ill people there?
No, I think the reason we compromised on that was, as the district judge said here, there is a growing sensitivity in the psychiatric community that we should find alternatives if we possibly can for the seriously mentally ill than to have them in these institutions, despite our optimism about being able to adequately
treat
them.
Well, how is the Colorado State Prison any different?
I don't know.
But
the plaintiff's not complaining, and that was...
I don't understand. So apparently this Boscobel with the isolation and the lights and the heat and all that, that's no good for these people. So presumably there's something better somewhere.
They thought so. We agreed as
so
part of a compromise.
So this mediator that Judge Bauer was asking about, did he pick the Colorado State Prison, or
I don't
decide that has better?
I don't remember that.
Better program for these people.
I don't remember that. Don't remember the fact on that. One of the points I do want to make about this case in connection with the decision to bring him here is it was made by Puckett in terms of all the defendants. There's just one defendant who had the say on that, and that was defendant Puckett. And I believe that's uncontradicted in the record. And it's also uncontradicted in the record that Puckett believed that this prison could handle his mental health needs, a belief that is vindicated by Dr. Miller's subsequent professional opinion on the matter. And that's important because, as this court explained in the Ricardo decision a year or two ago, the question in these cases is not what they should have thought or believed, but what they in fact did believe. And having stipulated below that Puckett, who made the decision, did have this belief, I believe effectively is a concession of error on that part. They also made a statement in their reply brief that I think they're mistaken about, and that is that our own internal screening tool would have prevented Scarver from coming back. That's just not correct. In the record, in the now sealed docket number 79, G001 and 02, shows that screening tool was used, and it was signed off on by Dr. Hagen, believing, again, that we could treat him. Then I want to remind everybody of the uncontradicted testimony in the record by Dr. Miller that Scarver had some of the best mental health care he'd had in his entire life. Now, it's true. This man is a sick man. He still is. He still is hearing voices at Colorado. That's in the prison. And he still is very dangerous at the same time. He is not allowed to mingle with any of the inmates there, just as we didn't allow him to mingle with any other inmates in the Wisconsin prison because of his dangerousness. And I call again attention to Judge Crabb's decision in declining to order us to remove him. We had a balancing act. We had a very dangerous man, 2 murders in prison. They were horrific murders. We had a man who was also very mentally ill. but we're strapped in terms of our own resources as just what do you do with this man. As I say, we eventually worked it out in compromise and negotiation and found a place that everybody was happy with.
You do have air conditioning, right?
We do. By court order.
That's right. I remember that.
All right. I have nothing further. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Hornstra. And Ms. Andre, how much time does she have? 3 minutes?
I just want to, again, reiterate that the issue here is at the time Scarver began attempting suicide at Supermax, are defendants entitled to qualified immunity when they did nothing to respond to that suicide risk? I think we're directly in line.
The suicide risk wasn't high. I mean, picking up a point Judge Bauer made, of course, this frequent inspection of his cell and leaving the lights on, that is the sort of thing they do when they put people on suicide watch. So it's true, he did attempt suicide, but they must have thought it was pretty unlikely that he could succeed in his situation.
Well, they you know, he's banging his head on the wall. He's cutting open his head with a razor. I mean, counsel admitted during his argument that they accept that Supermax isn't a suitable facility for the mentally ill, and yet they waited for over 3 years to transfer him. In fact, they did not transfer him as part of a settlement. They didn't transfer him until we filed this lawsuit. Part of the lawsuit was for injunctive relief to get him out of there, and that has been mooted by the transfer. But there's no justification for that three-year delay. To go back to something that was the conditions that you asked about at Colorado, I just want to point out that the district court opinion on page 9 goes through them and mentions, you know, at Colorado, it was a federal facility in Florence, participated in both educational and psychological programming.
He's not
work.
Back at Florence.
No, now he is at
some state prison.
The state prison, and there's been no record of suicide attempts there as well.
But do we know anything about the conditions there?
Well, let me refer you to another page in district court's opinion, because she does talk about after he was transferred out.
Well, again, we have to assume it was Florence, because it just says a federal prison in Colorado. It sounds like Florence, but we don't know that from the record, do we?
That's correct. It is in other places in the record as part of what records they have. On page 18 to 19, she speaks to current confinement.
Okay, and Carlos.
Go ahead. And, you know, it notes he's permitted to interact with staff and other inmates, leave his cell on a daily basis. And that's really what distinguishes Supermax, which is one of the most highly restrained prisons, you know, in the United States, with other maximum security prisons that are suitable for the mentally ill. Things like the 23 out of 24 hours a day in your cell when you're severely mentally ill and suicidal is not appropriate. Unless the panel has any other questions, we ask that the...
Of course, Florence, my recollection is you don't leave your cell either.
No, he did leave his cell in Florence.
In Florence?
Yes. He was permitted to work, and then he was permitted to engage in activities and recreation outside the cell. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Andre and Mr. Hornstra.